It is time for Unit 1, Lesson 6. I'm on page 27, and I would highlight the second paragraph. Are you ready to hear Jesus speak? We have Jesus' Sermon on the Mountain. He communicates with wisdom, intensity, truth, and real-life illustrations. This message is personal and passionate. I think that's really important for us to remember. We wanted to listen to Jesus intently as he shared what was of utmost concern to him. And this is what we need to understand about the kingdom of heaven and what we need to understand if we want to be members of, citizens of, live as a part of the kingdom of heaven. When you turn to page 28, you saw that you were to highlight each occurrence of the kingdom of heaven, kingdom, heaven, heavenly father, and father in heaven. So the question that I would ask is, because you highlighted that, would you now say that the Sermon on the Mount is about the kingdom of heaven and how to live as a member of the kingdom of heaven? Would that be a summary statement? Did you think of the Sermon on the Mount that way before highlighting that phrase, Kingdom of Heaven? Is it something that you would have paid attention to if you hadn't? I just want to get your initial reflections there regarding the concept of the Kingdom of Heaven and the fact that this sermon is about the Kingdom of Heaven. So we're just kind of tossing it out there, see if there are any reactions. You don't need to read or highlight or, you know, check answers or anything like that. There's no counting of how many times it showed up. So I'm not looking for that. On page 31, at the end of the copy of the sermon, I asked the question, what was the most familiar to you in reading this? So that would just be an open question to get, ideas from different ladies. And for me, it was the Lord's Prayer, the Beatitudes, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and God's righteousness. Oh, it's seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What was the most surprising to you? That would be interesting to hear what people say. Matthew 5:19 actually stood out to me this time. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so, teaches them to break commandments, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So that's encouragement and motivation to do the right thing, to do and teach. Not because we want, and it doesn't say that we'll be called the greatest in the kingdom of heaven there. So that's just what stood out to me. Well, I mean, there's so much, but as I was reading along, that was one thing. So just have ladies talk about it a little bit. And then at the top of page 32, the question going back to kind of the beginning is, how did Matthew prepare us to hear this sermon? What did he bring attention to in Matthew 4:17 and Matthew 4:23? What did he say that he preached? Jesus said, repent, the kingdom of heaven has come near. And in 4:23, Matthew said, Jesus went about preaching the good news of the kingdom of heaven. So we're still emphasizing that. The sermon is about the kingdom of heaven. Then you would have hopefully just marked the sections of the outline, again, getting our heads around this whole sermon. And the bulk of it, so much of it, is about what keyword? Righteousness. And then the first line of that first paragraph at the bottom of page 32, realizing that the Sermon on the Mount relates to how to live in the realm of the Messiah's kingdom, will impact how we apply these scriptures to our lives. So we're going to go to the box on page 33, and that's MacArthur's quote, and we want to understand When this is to apply, at what period in time is the Sermon on the Mount to apply? Some see it having, as described by MacArthur, seemingly impossible demands. And we're going to touch on that at the very bottom of the box. So I would say you could read, you the leader could read. The text does not indicate or imply that these teachings are for another age. It doesn't say that it's for some future time period. And Jesus is clearly demanding this action of the people that he was right in front of. And they were not in the millennium. So ask someone to read the fourth statement there. Or just assign someone if you feel like they would be comfortable reading out loud so that you can keep things moving along. So, Carol, would you please read the fourth statement there in the box? Every principle taught in the Sermon on the Mount is also taught elsewhere in the New Testament in contexts that clearly apply to believers of our present age. I mean, what is in the Sermon on the Mount is in the letters of the rest of the New Testament. And then you could ask someone else to read that fifth statement. There are many New Testament passages that command equally impossible standards, which unglorified human strength cannot continually achieve. So if you just try to live out the Sermon on the Mount as an unbeliever, you will fail. Or as a Christian doing it in your own strength, you will fail because you cannot, what does this say? Continually live out the righteousness that God requires of us. And we can't do it in our own strength. And that's what the last statement says. The teachings of the Sermon on the Mount are for believers today. Well, actually, it doesn't say what I wanted it to say. You can read this. The teachings of the Sermon on the Mount are for believers today, marking the distinctive lifestyle that should characterize the direction, if not the perfection, of the lives of Christians of every age. So, yes, this says we are to be pursuing it, but does it mean that the Sermon on the Mount is just a lofty pursuit that it's okay if you never reach it? Well, no, that's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying this is how to live. So it's the last phrase in that first italicized paragraph. I know that because I have trusted in Jesus as my Savior and King, He has given me the new life that I need to be able to follow His teaching. Only through the power of the Holy Spirit can I live as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. So here I've mentioned in my opening introductory lectures that we must live out Jesus' commands by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I am bringing that up here as well. Then we'll go to the, and you could pause, you could say, does anybody have any, you know, comments or reactions to any of this? And you can talk about things or just keep going, depending on what time it is. At the bottom of page 33, we will end our discussion with these last three questions. What characterized the multitudes that Jesus saw, and what was Jesus' purpose in speaking to them? So they were crowds from everywhere. They were coming from all over the place. There were people who were sick in intense pain. There were demon-possessed and all other kind of problems. And Jesus was healing them. But he spoke this Sermon on the Mount to teach them. And then what was the response of the people at the end of his message? And the crowds were astonished. They were amazed because Jesus taught with authority. Please make sure those two ideas are captured. The crowds were amazed because Jesus taught with authority. And he was teaching in a way that was different from the scribes. They saw the authority of God coming through. I mean, they didn't really grasp that's what it was, but they knew that Jesus was speaking and teaching differently than the scribes did. So then we have our final application question. Do you recognize the authority with which Jesus speaks? Are you amazed or inspired by his teaching? And what are your initial responses to his teaching in the Sermon on the Mount? And I guess, depending on how ladies are answering that question, draw them out with that third one. I mean, it's great for them to talk, answer the first question and the second question, but to get them talking more. Like, what are your initial responses to his teaching? Now that you've read the whole thing and you've had this lesson and you've thought about it, you know, we've been talking about it, what do you really think about what Jesus said? And I was just like, you know, it's perfect. And it's a description of wonderful life. Imagine if we were all believers obeying his words and living this way by the power of the Holy Spirit. That, I mean, the kingdom of heaven is a great place. This is really a great way to live. And I also thought, this, it's all a picture and a description of humility, of a humble life, of the golden rule, thinking of the other person. And it's about trusting God. So it's really good. And that's inspiring. It's a description of a life that would be one of peace and joy and rest and hope and patience and love. So I hope you have a good time with our start to the Sermon on the Mount. And then we're just going to spend a lot of time in it. In the next 6 lessons, we will be in the Sermon on the Mount, and maybe, and even more after that. Thanks.